We're thankful for everyone that's here today, and we're so grateful for the Lord. Thanks for all the songs sung, the kids singing. Isn't that great? It's a privilege and an honor. Well, we've been in this series, and dealing in this series has been quite quite the task. We're talking about all the words that Jesus ever said, all the words he said, because after all, as Christians, we're supposed to be followers of Christ. And it's amazing to me how we follow so many other quotes, so many other famous people. But who was more famous and who laid his life down and called us his friend was Jesus. So our study is understanding every word that he ever spoke. It's trying to get a hold to those words. Well, this study takes a long time because he said a lot. And we're just getting started in it. We've been in it quite some time. I think it's a couple years process of just getting every word in to do it. But today, I was going to put up on the overhead the message, but it doesn't look like we have any connection. So we'll see if they can get it going. We'll do it. But we're going to be in our Bibles in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start right where Pastor Josh left off last night. So in our service last night, he covered a little bit more. He was going through the prayer and so forth, and we got that famous prayer where he teaches us the model, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so that model prayer is spoken, and we learn a lot of things from that. But today, I want to focus on one part of that model prayer that I think is going to be a help for a lot of people. I could tell you, you could pull it up and follow me. I think I sent it down there. Just go to, there you go. Y'all are amazing. So, we appreciate it. So when the things go bad, we all call Phil, right? Because we up here acting like we know what computers do. We really don't. We just act. But they know, so you don't call me when it go bad. When it all goes good, it makes you shine. It's when it goes bad, you go, who, me? Phil. So thank you, Phil. Appreciate it, and for getting us at least where everybody can see. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, we'll start there. We'll cover, again, some review. This is some review from last night's service. And so listen, I can't emphasize enough, all of these services are important to us. But today, we're going to go a little bit further because we got a stop point because we're going to start talking about the kingdom of God and what that looks like. What is it? What it's not. All of those things are important. So we appreciate it and thank God for allowing us to have this time today. So let's start Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the street corners of the and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We focused on that last week, their reward, his reward. It's two different things, and the contrast between both of them. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou prayest, use not vain repetition. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I'm on 4:43. Okay. I'm not going to connect. Y'all just run it. Run it from y'all so that way I don't have to stop. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that what things ye have need of before ye ask. Very interesting statement. Remember, all this is in red because these are all his words. The Father knows. So a lot of times we get caught up in semantics. We get caught up in how our words come out. Prayer is talking to God. It's plain and simple. You talk to a friend. You talk to a neighbor. You talk to your wife, your husband, your children. You're communicating. You have something on your mind. You communicate it to them. If they comprehend any English, that's what you're speaking, They'll understand what you're saying. They respond. I mean, just tell you, God knows all languages. So you won't have to worry about what language you pray in. He knows them all. So when you talk to God, you're talking to him. You're communicating with him. The Greek word is koinonia. It's the communion. It's a connection that he allows us to have with him because of what Christ paid for at his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We allow that communication. Now, to not take advantage of that would be senseless. Wouldn't it be? If somebody came to you and says, well, listen, I know you've been struggling, but I put $1 million in an account for you. And here's the code to the account. It's in your name, and it's yours. It's free. It's yours. It's yours. And then you live the rest of your life in poverty. That's your fault. How many understand that? Because you had something that you could access but never did. Prayer is accessing God. You have it, but you don't do anything with it. Well, I don't know how to pray. Every person in here knows how to pray. Because we think prayer is something that it's not. And he tells us, Jesus says, don't do as the hypocrites do. They try to make their words fancy, and they try to be real proper. He said, just talk to me. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me where you're hurting. Tell me what's the problem. He says, matter of fact, before you tell me, just so you know, I already know. There's confidence in that. There's a lot of confidence knowing that he knows. So if I can't, so I'm going to go around and say, well, don't pay for me to tell him. He knows. That's not what he said to do. He says, pray, but I want you to know, I already know. So if you get the words mixed up, I know, I understand. I understand if you struggle with your words. So why is that? Why did he make it this way? Because some folks, maybe they don't have the education. Maybe they had to drop out of school for work or what have you. And so they feel, and people feel that a lot. They feel like, well, I don't have the advantage like somebody who went to college and they know how to talk. They know how to make their words correct. Listen to me. God understands you, especially when you're making that prayer vertical. If you make it horizontal, you care about what other people hear you say. Don't do that. He said they love standing in the street and they like people to hear them. He said, just talk to me. It doesn't matter what anybody else hears as long as I'm listening to you. And that's important. So then he says this. So if we need some help, he gives us a model. How many know what a model is? It's the thing you do before the real comes out. It's the model. It's something you use as the beginning of it. It's the prototype of what prayer should look like. So here's the prototype of what prayer should look like. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father who art in heaven. Now this is significant because up to this point, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which was the Jewish sects of those days, they didn't have a communication like this. God was never addressed as Father. Matter of fact, they did, at this particular time, they didn't even address God. And still today, we have some religious sects that will use Adonai. Adonai would be an expression of the name. Afraid to say the name of Yahweh, the God's name, given name in Scripture, and afraid to use the term God. Matter of fact, in some sects, they won't even spell it out. They'll put G underscore D. And that's just from their fear. Fear of not knowing that I don't want to take the name in vain. And it's just, again, misunderstanding of the text. Because he wants us, he encourages us to talk to him. And so if he encourages us to talk to him, we're not going to just address him as God, because he didn't say that. He didn't say address him as just God. He addresses him more in a personal way. What's the personal way? You get to be connected to family. You have a family connection because he says, and this is Yeshua speaking. Think about Jesus. He says, you do it like this. Our Our is an inclusion, including you, that he's talking to his father. You can talk to his father, which makes him your father. Very important. It's just something about when you can go talk to your father. There's some comfort there. And so he says, our Father who art in heaven. In meaning heaven, not you don't notice that term is not used to just tell us of the place where he abodes, but it's the significance of his authority, his majesty, his power, his significance, ultimately his glory. So is there anything above the heavens? See, that's what he's saying here. So when you recognize him, because this is what he says, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Meaning there's the reverence and the respect for the name that I'm talking to. You have to show that disposition. You take that posture when you pray. Very important. So again, I didn't want to turn this into prayer because we covered most of this last week. But you can't say enough about it. You go back over and you can't say enough. Thy kingdom come. We'll be touching on this section right here, thy kingdom come. We'll do that. We'll start that next Sunday because it's a long process there. It'll be just as long or longer than the Beatitudes section that we did, which is still on display. Thy will be done in earth. Notice what you're saying. The first thing is we want to let God know that no matter what I ask, I want your will to be done because I could ask with bias, especially if you're in the need, right? I can put my prayer over praying for others because I'm in the need. And so he says, just pray my will. Why pray God's will? Because he knows what everybody needs. Amen? He knows what's best for everybody. So that's important. So give us this day our daily bread. Whatever you see fit, Lord, for me to have, I thank you for it. Give us this day our daily bread. How much does God know you need? Well, he knows you need something every day. Hence, he tells us the model on how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. When's the last time you asked God for daily bread? Well, you know, I don't want to ask God for too much. Why not? He said to. Well, I'm okay. You know, other people need it more than me. But you don't understand. You break the connection of how he wants you. Maybe the daily bread that you get is going to help you for when he said earlier about almsgiving. When you give your alms, don't give to be seen. So the extra you get maybe is for somebody else. You ever thought of it that way? Maybe God's trying to use you as a conduit to give something to somebody else. So if there's something that you have a knowledge of and you want to have a spirit of charity, you do that. But you should pray every day for your daily bread. Very important. This model is so incredible. And here's the part I'm going to focus on just a little bit because I gave a hint of it last week and we didn't finish it. And forgive us our debts or our trespasses, whatever translation you're using, as we forgive our debtors or those who trespass against us. That's a tough one right there. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Incredible prayer. Incredible. Now, just remember, it's called a model, meaning we use it as a template. There can be, but you should at least cover these points in your prayer time. They should be covered. Very important. So let's look at this. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, so he's going to talk about trespasses now. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's important. I mean, you know, that's important because we all need forgiveness, right? Every one of us need forgiveness. Why? Because we all transgress the law. Every one of us. We've transgressed the law. So the important thing to understand or the valuable thing to grab hold to is of utmost importance in our life. And it's important for us to see this. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither, notice this, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, how many know it's important to finish reading the text? Because we can get hung up on the model, and we don't see where Jesus uses some words to pull out what's important. He pulls out what's important. What's important in the model? Forgiving other people. And if you forgive, then your Father forgives you. So think about this. We all have sinned, every one of us. Sometime, maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was today. We messed up. Just think about it. I made a mistake. How many have ever made a mistake in your life? We make mistakes. The scripture says, if you sin. This is after you know the truth. You know it's not good to do it. But if you do it, you have an advocate with the Father. How many of you know what an advocate is? It's somebody who speaks for you. They stand up for you. Because the enemy wants you to believe that your words are no count. Who do you think you are to ever be able to talk to God? Some religions believe, don't talk to God for yourself. Tell it to some man and he'll talk to God for you. Not sure about that. Because he didn't say that. He's talking to the crowd. What's the setting? He's on the mountain. It's a mixed multitude. There's the Pharisees are there. The Sadducees are there. The disciples are there. And a bunch of people's there. And he's sitting there and he's telling them this. He said, but when you pray, pray our Father. So our is an inclusion of how many people in the audience? Every single person that's listening to him. Every person is included. See, the enemy's job is to keep you at distance, to never have a full relationship with the Father. That's his job. He wants to keep you way away where God is some distant being, supernatural being, out way out, but we can never talk to him for ourselves. The scripture says something different. If we take our Bibles and we look at it for ourselves, it definitely says something different than that. Every person here can communicate. But when we communicate, we got to remember he helps us in the areas we have most trouble. What's one of the areas you can think about that we would have most trouble? Forgiving. Because you just don't know what they did me. Okay. That's a good point. And it's legitimate. It's not nonsense. It's legitimate. But he says if you sin after you know the truth and you have an advocate, one who speaks on your behalf, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. What? Your trespass. And cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what he's doing right now. As we're here in this service, Yeshua, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus is at the right hand of who? The Father. And he makes intercession for us. Why? Because we're not there. How many understand that? We still got to get up every day. We got to make decisions. We got to make hard decisions sometimes. Very difficult. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. No matter what, we got to live with the consequences of what we decide to do. And if they're breaking the laws of God, we're going to need God through Christ to get forgiveness of that. Right? Because what is forgiveness? When you get forgiven, what does that help with? It helps with relationship. Because when you're arguing or out of sorts, you get sideways with somebody, you're not visiting them the next day. You're not going to sit and have coffee with them the next day because you're sideways and something went wrong. That's how it happens with us and God. People struggle with going to church, reading their Bible, because they got a little sideways. Somewhere in life you got sideways with God. Well, the only way to get it right is forgiveness. So to get forgiven, you got to go on your own list and say, who in my life did I not forgive? Because how can I expect God to do it in me if I'm not willing to show it out on my desk in my office? I always keep this ruler. It's a school ruler, a little clear plastic school ruler, 12-inch ruler. How many know what I'm talking about? I keep it there as a reminder to me. I look at it, and it reminds me of something. The measure that I measure out will be measured back to me. I always keep that ruler when I sit and talk with people, when I have to talk with people that I know just did it deliberately. I look at that ruler before I say my words. Before I say what I, because deep down you always want to say something, but is it correct? And after all, make sure that if someone's overtaken in a fault, ye with your spirit, you'll restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. The ruler reminds me, don't speak too fast. What process will you want if you were in the same position? Very important. Let me tell you, the words of Jesus are incredible. We can learn so many lessons from this. Forgiveness is required for those who have been forgiven. We are not given the luxury of holding on to our bitterness toward other people. It feels good. How many know sometimes it just feels good to be mad at somebody? It don't even matter if it's the right person. Because God knows you've been through it. You're just tired of being tired. So you just, but listen, according to Jesus, you're not given the luxury to be that way. Uh-oh. Guess what? Pastor's about to preach in a little while. Y'all hang on. Yeshua has much more to say about forgiveness. Matthew 9, 1 through 6. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And Luke 17, 1 through 4. Here, the emphasis is on the imperative. How many of you know the imperative is important here of forgiveness? It's necessary. There's no getting around it. It's the imperative on the fact that it is not an option. How many want your life to go good? How many want your family to go good? How many want your children to go good? It's not an option. I want you to think about this. Because listen, after the day service, it's go home, do something time. Just do something. We have to. Because it liberates you. It sets you free. Listen, people have been ill in their bodies for years because of unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness is a devastating fact. It tears lives apart and families apart. Yet in the model prayer, he says, forgive us our debt. Well, we trespassed against you as we forgive those trespass. So if we don't get the as we right, then how do we walk around thinking we've been forgiven when we haven't been? We're disqualified. Hence the trouble maybe that we have or the struggles we have. We don't want that in our lives. Let's look at Matthew 9, 6. This is, again, these are words of Jesus. I highlighted as much as I could so you'd see it. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Yeshua, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice his words. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes would have been those who could literally write the Torah. They could write it. They understood how to pattern the scriptures. Amazing. These guys were brilliant. Said to themselves, within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Talking about Jesus. And Yeshua, knowing their thoughts, he says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? I mean, that'll shock you, right? You know, if you're sitting at breakfast, say you're at breakfast and there's a table sitting over there and a table here, and these guys are kind of in the circle, they hang out, and that table's a different circle. And these guys don't really say anything loud, but, you know, you're cutting your egg and you go, them guys over there, you know, they are crooks or whatever. Just an example, okay? So all of a sudden, the guy from the other table comes up and says, you shouldn't think that I'm a crook in your heart. What would you do? You'd try to get your egg down because you'd go, I'm thinking out loud, right? This is kind of what happened here with Jesus. He, you know, they're thinking, they have these thoughts about, well, this guy's a blasphemer. And he goes, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? Wow. That's a quiet moment. You ever had them quiet moments when something gets said and you go, that's what happened. So verse 5, he says, for whether is it easier? So he's going to explain about forgiveness. This is Jesus. He explains it. Whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? How does he explain it? He's with a question, because he's asking it. He's trying to include him. Help me with this. I'm the Son of God. Maybe I'm missing this, but you help me. But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy. Looks at the guy. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into the house. He's asked that question, which one is what's the difference? Because no matter what he would have said, the result would have been the same, because he was, his mission was, is to get the man that was sick of the palsy to his life to change. Very important. How many want life-changing experiences in your relationships, whether it be with the wife, your children, your co-workers, your employees? It doesn't matter. They're life-changing experiences that you're going to encounter all the time. We have to understand how this operates. How does forgiveness operate? Because when you make statements with unforgiveness, there'll be a time in your life you'll want to go back and wish you could rewind and change that statement. And that's the ones we try to avoid. We don't want those. We want to avoid them because they go on for years. Words matter. They matter. Listen, Matthew 18. So these are all the things that Yeshua is talking about, this forgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? This is a great question. And Peter wanted to know, probably for a reason. Right? He wanted to know. He said, I'm getting tired of it. I've had enough. If John don't quit, I gotta watch what names I throw out. I'm John the disciple, okay? Peter, John, James, stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible. Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Get that calculation going. 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, or God, is the same, they're synonymous. Kingdom of heaven, if you see that in the Bible, or kingdom of God, they're synonymous. The kingdom of heaven was likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay his master, commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. Notice this condition. The servants therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosened him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that amazing? How did he move him? He fell down and worshiped him or recognized him as master. And when he did that, what did he do? He owned his debt. He owned it. I did get this and I did not pay for it. And I'm letting you know that I am sorry for what I did. The master was moved with compassion. He didn't say, well, you know, it's easy for you to say. You don't have to worry like my light bills do. You don't know what I'm going through. I got one kid in the hospital. He didn't do that route. He just recognized, no, I got it, and I didn't pay it, and for that I'm sorry. Well, that moved the master. The master said, wow. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. So one of them, let's just use a number, he owed $1,000, and his neighbor, his servant, owed him a penny. A dollar, just say a dollar. So he finds this guy who owed him a dollar, and he laid his hand on him and took him by the throat and said, saying, pay me what thou owest. A little different in it. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And he would not. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. You owe me a dollar. You're going to pay me my dollar. Listen, when you do that, you forgot what just happened to you. You owed $1,000 over here. And when you begged for your forgiveness, he said, you know what? I'm going to give you a chance. Is it right to leave from that situation and then demand something else from someone else who owes a lot less? Whose words are we studying right now? Yeah, just the master, the son of God, the rabbi, our teacher, the one we're following. We're trying to emanate, we're trying to be like him, be Christ-like. We don't even know what he says. I just believe a little different. There's no different belief. If you're a believer, you better follow Messiah because he's the one paid the price. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Listen, it don't even matter what I say. Do you understand that? Whatever I say, it better match what he's saying. If not, don't listen to nothing I say. Because our life is where it's going to count. Now, he's using simple terms, just simple stuff for us to not forget. Now, I want you to notice this. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their master all that was done. Then his master, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest it from me. You asked me and I forgave you. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So listen, when he says in the model, forgive our debt as we forgive, he means that. And then he gives this long exhortation here in the scripture, explaining himself. Because we're talking about all the words of Jesus. This is part of them. He said, let me explain to you what I mean by that. You can't hold over somebody what you've been forgiven for. That's not fair. We want the good from God, but we don't want to show good that God wants to use us as a conduit to show good to others. We want God to hear us, but when somebody else comes to talk to us, we don't have time for them. How can we expect God to hear us when we won't hear anybody that we're dealing with? See, this is the way it works. If we're going to do the Christian thing, if that's what we want to call it, we're going to do the Christian thing, these are the way we should be acting. It's very, very important that we see this. And that's why I took some time. I said, you know what, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this from last week. So likewise, verse 35, I underlined it. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Notice what he says. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, same Father in that model prayer, should do unto you. If you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother's trespasses. You got to forgive their trespasses. Listen, there ain't a person in here who hadn't been hurt by somebody. That's just what happens in humanity when there's sin. I've hurt people that I should have never done it. It was wrong. I said things that were wrong. I acted in ways. I had an attitude. It was wrong for me to do that. It should have never happened. I have to make sure that I clear that up. Do you understand that? Just because I don't like something about somebody, does that give me a right to demean them with words and to tear their life apart by my words? There's no rights in that. After all, remember, I was stuck in the mire. I was bound to death, that nothing can get me out. But Jesus came and forgave me of my sin. He forgave me and he gave me a second chance. Think about second chances. Does that matter? Listen, it does. It matters to God. All of humanity was bound to certain death with no way out. But God, in his infinite mercy, he saw a plan. His plan was to send his only son to die for humanity. And he died a death and gave everybody, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How amazing is that? And what's our job? Serving. Don't be afraid. This is the one thing. Think about, what's our goal? One thing. I need you. That's our goal. That's our goal. We get him. The rest falls into place. Hey, listen, you think it's easy to understand this Bible? This takes a lot of time, a lot of thought. And after you've done it for most of your life, you still don't know. Because it's so vast. But listen, why don't we start with the simple stuff? The simple thing is we got to learn how to forgive because it eats you up. It destroys relationships. It destroys them. Do your best. I don't care how bad it is. Do your best. You as a person, you say, well, they won't accept it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the other person does. It matters what you do. You just say, listen, I forgive you. And then you got to, you know, forgiving is one thing. Saying is one thing. What's your reaction? You know, you're going in the grocery store and you got your bug and you're going. And that person that you forgave the day before, they coming down the same aisle. You don't divert and say, I ain't going down that aisle. Let them get, you thought you forgave them. You know, you don't want, you're going to be encounter. You're going to encounter those people a lot of times. And what you do, and no matter how nasty they are, what you do, it's going to weigh heavy on them. And you're just going to say nice things. You know what? I'm not going to do that. And I know we don't live in that type of society. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's tough. It is. But let me tell you, you just erase Christianity out of the world if you think it's tough now. Let's just take God out of the picture. You think it's tough now? We hadn't seen darkness. The only hope humanity's got, the only hope we got is to be a light of the world. Very important. We got to have goodness in the world. We got to have good. If it's just evil, we might as well shut this place up because we're all doomed. It's over with. There's got to be good. You know what's good? When you forgive your neighbor. But what if he don't forgive me? That's not you. That's between him and God. He can continue to hate you, but you won't hate him. They hated Jesus. They plucked his beard. They slapped him, they spit on him, they beat him with rods, they opened his back up to the bone with a cat of nine tails, just brutally beat him. He couldn't hate him. You know what he said? What he said? The last part, he's on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Let me tell you something. Stripped buck naked, exposed to all the humanity that watched him, humiliated him, and he said, "Forgive him, Lord." Why am I hold a grudge? Because if I hold a grudge, how in the world can I be the one that's going to lead them into the future of hope? I'm about to lead them into a future of hope. How can I lead them if I hold a grudge? It's absolutely fantastic. Listen, when I read this Bible, it blows my mind all the time. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I feel like I'm in the first grade. And I'm just picking it up for the first time. That's how amazing this is. These wonderful things that you learn and he lets us live by. And that's what we want to do. Let's look at Luke 17, verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offense will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, then that he should offend one of these little ones. Think about this. He's talking about offenses and what we do to people, how we offend them. It's going to happen. But he said it would be better that a millstone be tied about his neck. How many know what a millstone is? When we were in Nepal, in missions, they have millstones still. And they'll put the oxen out there, and they'll tie them to this long wooden, like a tree limb. And the oxen will just guide that millstone, and they'll throw the rice, and it'll start separating everything. And that millstone will just grind and grind and grind. And it's a huge stone. It's got a hole in it where the rod runs through, and then it just rolls like that. He says, if you don't learn how to forgive, it's probably going to be better to put that millstone around your neck and cast you in the sea. How many know what happens then? And that's what happens. You can have successes in life. You can mark those successes that you accomplish some things. It doesn't mean you won't accomplish things, but it's a falsity. At the end, where does it leave you? At the end. So don't mark where you are by successes in life. You can have things, you could do things, you can have a great life. You could do those things, but at the end, you're not going to be judged by how good you accomplished things. You'll be judged by how well you forgave. Because if you don't forgive, he won't forgive you. That's how I'm telling you the truth, because I just read it to you. You'll get judged by how you forgave. Wow. This is a nice quiet moment, ain't it? Because we got to think about this. It's going to help our lives. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. So you let him know. You know, somebody says, you know, why'd you say that? And then they say, oh man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. Then you got to be, that's the end of the deal. But to carry it on and say, well, let me just tell you, now that I know you said it, you see, it's a tough spot. We want to eliminate them. We want to get rid of them. But he said, if he repent, forgive him. Notice that. It's easier to have, you want to feel like you got something out of it. When you feel pain, you know what makes you feel better? If somebody else has the pain. And you want equal. Well, forgiveness don't operate that way. It just doesn't. Well, that ain't fair. Well, it's not fair that he who knew no sin became sin, that the righteousness of God could be revealed in us. It's not fair that the one who never sinned ever a day in his life, he bore our iniquities and our transgressions was upon him. You understand? That's not fair either. So if we're talking about fair, Jesus should have never died for none of us because it wasn't fair. He didn't commit the sin. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for ungodly people. Ungodly. Listen, it's nice to be friends with people who kind of do what you do. It's not easy to be friends with people who don't do what you do. It's not easy. But nonetheless, whatever our mission is, we have to fulfill that mission. Very important. If he trespass against thee seven times a day, listen to this. This is, listen, by the way, it's still highlighted in red. There's a reason for it. Who's the speaker? Jesus. He's speaking. If he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shall forgive him. Oh, boy. Think about that. Thou shall forgive him. Man, that's tough. That's what he said. Why? Because forgiveness is the end all for the person forgiving. Remember that. Because it ends. You don't have to bear that weight no more because you walked away. You said, Lord, I'm not gonna do that regardless. But when you don't forgive, you can always tell. Well, I forgave him. But let me tell you, it happens again. But we already know you didn't forgive him. Because the moment you said, if it happens again. And Jesus is saying here, if it happens seven times. Forgiveness is the end all. You walk away. That's real. And that's how you, listen, any relationship. We can name them. Let's start with husband and wife relationship. They get tough. They get real tough. And if you don't have a forgiving heart in a relationship, being married, it's a tough time for you. Children, parents and children. Children. That's why they start out being children. They're not grown. They're not adults. They don't do adult things. They make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are terrible mistakes. And you go, what are you doing? You know, look, I'm trying to do right in this community. What are you doing? You know how you're going to get that relationship with that child? Forgive them. Sometimes I think we forgot we were there one time. And somebody gave us a second chance and said, hey, you'll be all right. You can come out of that. How many thank God for those moments you had where somebody just reached out? Maybe you didn't address it this way, but this is how Jesus addressed it. He said it's about forgiving. It's about letting people know that you forgive them. And this is important to our life. And because I touched on it last week, just breezed by it, and I said, well, I really need to spend more time there. So I started putting the rest of these scripture in this morning, and I said, you know, this, I really need to look at this because this is important. I'm so glad I did. I needed to hear this. You know why? I have to be more forgiving. I have to make sure my life understands what that means. Because you can get frustrated after a while, especially if you're in a job and you have expectations of somebody, and they're just not meeting that expectation. You know what? Sometimes, instead of dealing with it that day, it's best to step back and wait till the next day, and then come back fresh with good thoughts. Because thoughts out of anger will always wind up in a bad situation. Step back, go home, say, Lord, you know, how do I need to handle this situation? Because honestly, I just want to get rid of them. But they have a family. They have stuff going on. What am I to do with this? And the Lord, you know what? He's going to lead you back to the scripture. He's going to say, hey, you remember that Sunday at church? I talked about forgiveness. That's what I want you to do. Wow. So you ought to appreciate the Lord because he's good to us. He wants the best for us. Now, let's move on. Matthew 6, verse 18. Moreover, when you fast. So we talked about almsgiving, praying. We talked about forgiving. Now about fasting. And we don't spend a lot of time here, but this is because it's simple. Fasting simple. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Remember, their reward, his reward. Their reward is not the spot you want to be in. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. Remember that. Unto the Father. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Again, what is our fasting? Vertical. Everything you do for God, is it what you do in church? Well, it's not here. We all go get one of these. You buy them at the store. You dress yourself up in your Christian garments and you come here. What does that mean? Nothing. What do I do Monday? Tuesday? Wednesday? What am I doing? When I don't have to put on my Christian garment and go to the service and be there at 10 o'clock, then, you know, I'm not doing that because that's the game. We can play the game, we can kind of be social about it, but that's all it is. What's my reaction on Monday when I get in a situation? What do I do at that moment? Is it going to come across your mind? It is. Just yesterday, I told Shaw, I said, what do you want to do? I said, Saturday, I didn't fish on Saturday. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take you on a date. So we get up, we have a little breakfast, and then we take off and said, what do you want to eat? We eat pizza. So that's good. I want pizza too. So we get, and she gets this little dish of noodles or whatever, Alfredo, whatever. And so she's eating that. We're talking. So we're sitting there, and we just communicating, enjoying each other. Well, before our pizza and the noodles come, we were there, and the other people came in, like five tables. I said, boy, they're busy today. She said, yeah, they're busy. Well, anyway, we noticed after talking, all five tables were eating, and we still talking. You know what you call that? Opportunity. Because it's a Saturday. I didn't have no suit on. So what do? It comes across your mind. There's a girl comes. She's nervous. We just took your pizza out. It's stuck to the thing. It's a mess back there. You know, why my pizza? You know, that's in your mind, right? So me and my wife, listen. Simultaneously, my wife, she said, baby, don't worry about it. It happens. It just happens. It's what you're dealing with. But let me tell you, if you're on the edge, if you still carrying other stuff, what does that do? It compiles. It's just getting on the other nerve that you got other stuff on. And other stuff's on that nerve. And you go, well, you know, I don't understand. Why do that? You get an opportunity. It's your opportunity. God gives them to you all the time. How you react is going to be based on what you've been looking at in the scripture. We don't have to do that. So it come time to tip, and I said, Charlotte, give her extra tip because that wasn't her fault. Give her extra because I want her to know that so I want her to be able to, when we left, in my mind, this was my mind. I wanted to go tell the co-worker. I said, man, let me tell you, I didn't think I was going to get anything, but look what they left me. Because, you know, we messed up their whole order. Does it matter, though? Ask yourself, does that matter? It was one little moment in time that you get pushed. And so if you react in a bad way, that lets you know, I need to back up. Let me back myself up and go back and read this again because I'm not applying it to my life. It's not about just hearing. It was exhorted to us during the worship. Don't be a hearer only. Don't come to church and say, boy, that was great. You know, you tell the pastor at the end, man, that was good. I enjoyed that message. That was good. Listen, all that sounds good and it makes people feel good, but at the end of the day, don't listen only. You got to have a heart that responds to the word of God. He said, don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. If you do it, it changes your life. I know in life you can feel like you're getting a short end every single time. You got to hang in there. Just hang in there. It'll change for you. I promise you, it will change for you. And when it does, it'll be amazing what God will do. And this is what he says often. The hypocritical scribes and the Pharisees wanted to make sure that everybody knew they were fasting. So they would have a sad countenance, disfigure their faces, so their agony of fasting would be evident to everybody. Everybody wants to look holy, look like, that's not, what does that mean? It means you bought nice clothes. Thank God. But listen, when you got a T-shirt on and shorts and you're kicking around in your flip-flops, you got to be the man then. You got to be that person, that woman of God then. That's what you have to do. And it's not easy. Because people know how to get on you, don't they? How many right now, let me just say, how many knows that if that one, I don't even show your hand, don't even look right now. Just close your eyes. There's that one or maybe two people that if they died, you would say hallelujah. That is hard. Ain't it? You'd say comments like, I'm glad that's over. You need to work on that part right there. So if you feel that in any way, you got to work on that part because it's not worth it. You ruin your life and everybody that's associated with your life, it all keeps going down that same part, especially if you're in leadership. If you're leading, who's in leadership? Every man that has a wife and children, you're in leadership. You're leading that family. They're looking at your life. They're going to copy what you do. You're the leader. Be a good steward of your house. Make sure you're a forgiving person. And when they mess up, let them know, I'm not happy about your mess up, but you're still my son. You're still my daughter. You're still my wife. You're still my husband. You understand that? Very important that they know that, because that's valuable to our life. Well, I can keep preaching because ain't nobody want to go outside yet. How many umbrellas in the corner? Did y'all see? Got one? All right. You can leave whenever you want. Yeshua spoke to these fundamental practices of spiritual life in his kingdom. Giving, praying, now fasting. Clearly, Yeshua assumed that his followers would give, pray, and fast. So he assumes by the way he speaks, we're going to do these things. When you do it, do it with the heart that is just given to the Lord. I don't care what you give. Remember the story? They came time for offering. And everybody that was in position, had companies, they came up there and they, you know, they'd done the march. And they dropped the money in the thing from high so it goes ching when it hits. But then a lady, she was just a widow. She had a penny in her hand. That's all she had. And she wasn't going to let anybody stop her from giving what she was going to give because it was vertical. It was to God and him only. She didn't care who saw it. It didn't make a difference. She gave that to God. And Jesus says, who do you think gave more? That's the question he asked. Who do you think done more? And he said, I'll tell you who done more. They gave because of their abundance. She gave from her heart because that's all she had. So when she turned around, there was only one thing she was counting on. God, my hands are empty, and my needs are your responsibility. And let me tell you, that ought to do something for your heart. That'll touch your life. Because that's the person that God wants us to be. It doesn't make a difference, Lord. I want to do what I do to you and you only. So whatever you're doing, your worship, whatever it is, it's got to be vertical. Don't do it to be seen. When you're fasting, it don't matter who knows you're fasting. And that's what, and so you have to understand the reason he said this, because the Pharisees, they fasted twice a week. Monday and Thursday would be on our calendar, but that was how it would equal. That's how they fasted, twice a week. And they let everybody know they were fasting. He said, don't do what they do. What did he call them? Hypocrites. He said, don't do what they do. What is the hypocrite? The one who wears the mask. They're mask wearers. They put on, they play the part. They're actors. Where we get the word acting from, that Greek word. They act like they're doing something, and they're really not. And if you buy into the act, it looks on all accounts that they're doing wonderful. But to him, it's being deceptive. The place of material things, a warning against covetousness, the choice between two treasures. And we'll try to finish it up right here if we can. The choice between two treasures. Think about that. Two treasures. He's going to talk about that. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the focus is talking about treasures. And how do I lay treasures up? What does that mean? How does that apply to us? And what is being said? One of the things that we have to remember, the ancient Greek more literally says, do not treasure for yourself treasures on earth. Don't treasure for yourself. The idea is that earthly treasures is temporary and fading away, but heavenly treasures is secure and eternal. Well, years ago, this would be taken out of its context and preached in the terms of, you know, don't have anything. Keep yourself in poverty. Don't do anything nice because that makes you more righteous. Well, that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is don't put everything, your weight, everything that you have in life focused on building treasures on the earth. Because that's not your, you have to understand that that's not what's final. What's final is the new birth. It's being born again. It's coming into the hope of the kingdom of God. If we read it in its context, we find out later on this is what he's talking about. So I want you to understand when he says, don't lay up treasures on earth where it can be taken. Because if you put everything on that and nothing on God, you spend no time with God, you spend no time building treasures in God and his word and all that, you can be disappointed, especially if a thief comes. Not to mention a thief, it could be anything. When the market crashes, the market had a little bump in it just a few days ago, kind of bump there. Some of my closest friends, I was with them on Friday, and they said, man, I lost 5%. Think about that. 5% of a dollar, you don't even think about that, right? You just walk on. But if it's 5% of 5 million, you think about that, right? So, and I thought about it because this was on my heart all week. We've been looking at this. And when we was in this conversation, I said, I said, well, that's why we have to lay up treasures in heaven. Because if we put everything just on that, that'll bother you. What you do is you take care of your family. You make sure you prepare for your future. You make sure, the Bible says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That inheritance is not just monetary. It is monetary, but not just monetary value. It also is spiritual value. So this is what he's saying this. He said, make sure you focus on what's your obligation. Your obligation is to tend to the needs of your family. It's your obligation. But if that's all you do, then you're just laying up treasures on earth. But if you'll focus on me also, and when should we put that? What order should that be in? Well, he tells us later on, seek first, because we need to know the order. What's the first thing? Seek first the kingdom of God. Then these other things, what's the other things? The essential things of life shall be added unto you. They're going to come, and it's going to be a natural flow. It flows in your life. So when you're thinking about these treasures, this is valuable for us to know. Very important because of how he laid out. Yeshua drew the conclusion that you can only have your treasures in your heart in one place. One place. We can't store up treasures in the earth and in heaven at the same time. You are working for yourselves or working for the kingdom of Yahweh. And so here's the thing. When you are working for storing up in the earth, like right now, what does that add up to? Does it mean don't do it? And this is his reference. He's saying that you are, once you have signed into the kingdom of God, and you apply yourself to the kingdom, everything you do is associated with the kingdom. Everything. There's no difference. It don't switch. Because you can't have your heart in two different areas. So your treasures that you're doing now, we would say, well, what we do now, I got a savings account, whatever it is. That application then applies to what? the kingdom of God, because now you're born again. You're just now, you're transferring it from one area, one focus, my life, it's me, it's mine, it's our situation, my family, I got to make sure we tend it to. You get saved, you're now doing the same thing. Your family, your kids, whatever it is, your job, it's in the kingdom of God. There's a transfer. You're doing it with kingdom principles, God's way. And that's the danger that we see a lot of times is we have people who say, well, I'm going to start going to church, but they never see the distinction there. It's a bad spot. You need to see the distinction. The distinction is once you give your heart to God, you do it God's way. What was I doing before? My way. Now I'm doing it His way. Do you got to change? Is it change up? When you get saved, do you lose your wife? You don't have a responsibility to her no more? No, you still have a responsibility. What about your children? Oh, you still have a responsibility. What about your job? You have a responsibility. So you have earthly things that you're responsible for, but your heart's where? In the kingdom of God. So then you use those principles to apply all of that to what you're doing. I'm telling you, your life will change. Your life changes. This is His way to show us. He's trying to show us the right way. And so, this is the last one right here, the two vision, the choice between two visions. It's two scripture, and then we'll close. The light of the body is the eye. I want you to notice this. This is Yeshua. He says, the light of the body is the eye. I want you to think about that. If therefore the eye be single, what is he talking about? The eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Think about that. But if the eye be evil, the eye be evil. So he's talking about single eye or evil eye. What does he call the evil eye? The eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Think about that, darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Think about that. So I want you to think about this. So the light enters the eye, and it does what? It's distributed to the whole body. Whether it's sunlight, whatever light, it's distributed to the body. There's a reaction the body takes. The pupil, everything, there's a dilation. Everything responds when the light comes in the eye. He said, when that happens, the whole body is full of light. Now, he's trying to give us this lesson. This is Jesus. He's giving us this lesson, but he's using terms that we're not familiar with. So when we read this, we go, I don't understand what he's saying. But you have to go back and understand it. The Hebraic mindset, he's giving it, he's speaking that way because his audience is, they're a bunch of Israelites sitting out there and they're listening. They understand what he's saying. The eye is single, meaning that you have one vision. If you can see, how many in here can see? You can see, then the light comes in, you have the effect of what you see. Single eye, single vision. Your purpose is one purpose, serve God. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to live for the kingdom of God. But if the eye's evil, means you have two visions, or you're basically blind. You're blind to what the light can come in. So if you're blind, what does blind people see? They're blind. You're standing in front of them, they don't see you because it's just dark. It's dark. And he says you can't have both of those things. You can't have a single eye and an evil eye. Because if you have the evil eye, it's just darkness. There's no light in that. And he said that's the choice has to be made between what vision you want. Do you want to see? You want to see? The light comes in, the whole body gets full of light. Very important. The eye is single. It's not double, because he talks about being double-minded. It's a single, the eye is single, meaning your vision, your purpose, your plan is to live for God in His kingdom. That's it. There's nothing else. But what if I went to church, and I'm at church, and I want the single eye at church, but outside the church, I want the evil eye? I mean, you know, that could be a problem. Well, obviously, Jesus knew this because it's in His lesson. Remember, this is a Sermon on the Mount. He's still preaching. It's in His lesson. He said, but if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. There's the light can't come in. And if therefore the light there, and if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Think about it. It's an amazing thing that happens. Simply the idea is that light comes into the body through the eye. If our eye were blind, we would live in a dark world. Being single-minded brings light to our lives. And we are also happy and more content when we focus on the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, knowing that all material things will be added unto us, Matthew 6:33, and we'll cover that next week, hopefully. But when we are double-minded, it is as if our whole body is full of darkness. We try to live for two masters at the same time, and it puts a dark shadow over everything in our life. That's a tough thing, to live for two masters. Listen, if a person's going to be devoted to a job and they're going to take the job, they have to be loyal to the position they're taking and to the person they work for. There has to be loyalty. Sometimes you run into problems when you don't have loyalty. And I want everybody to listen to this, because I ask the Lord every time when I have these thoughts come and I apply these to the scripture. I said, Lord, why am I saying that today? Why would I say it today? Who needs to hear this? It's important for our life. You have to be loyal. That's why your eye has to be single. If you are going to do something and you sign up to do that, you have to have loyalty in that. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian, be loyal. If you're going to work for somebody, be loyal. They pay your check. They're not just paying you for the work you do, they're paying you for loyalty. That doesn't mean much today in our society. And it's not right. Don't get the job. Don't sign up for it if you're not going to be loyal. You got to have a single eye. You can't work for somebody but wish you was working for somebody else. It's not fair. And so we got people running around going to church on Sunday and behaving that way. What type of Christian is that? We're going to be loyal. We're going to say, well, I'm a serve God. Be loyal to it. Don't be double-minded. Don't have the evil eye because you want to be in another place. Why do you want to be loyal? Because with loyalty comes reward. When you're loyal to them. Listen, if you have anybody, if they're working for you, whatever it is, you check people's loyalty. Just because a person shows up and goes to work, that doesn't mean they're loyal. You know what? How you can find loyalty? Have one disagreement with them. Just a disagreement. And they say, you know what? I don't really see it how you see it, but I work for you and I will do my job. That's loyalty. A pat on the back does engage loyalty. When you correct somebody, they'll show you how loyal they are. Because you're speaking in their life not to hurt them, but you're correcting an error you become aware of an error. And they'll say, you know what? I'll accept that. That's loyalty. Because let me tell you, the Word of God is full of these instances. We start serving God, and all of a sudden, he's going to check our loyalty. He's going to find out if our eye's single. Or if we really just play in the role and we really want to be doing something else. I want to be for God, but I also want to be for the world. I got two visions. How many of you know how difficult it is to play two visions out? Can you serve two masters? That's what he asked. Yeshua asked, he said, can a person serve two masters? He's going to be loyal to one. Not to both of them. If you're trying to be loyal to two, it's a disloyalty to the other. Automatic. It's an automatic. And so this is what he's pointing out. He said, listen, if you're going to serve God in his kingdom, be loyal. This applies to everything. So how can I show loyalty to God if I don't show loyalty to the job? That's what people want to do. They want to say, well, I'll go to church, But I'm just going. I don't pay no attention to them. I don't even like them. That's not very Christian. Is that Christian? Can you go? How do you get up and sing and raise your hands and clap your hands in church when you behave that way on Monday? A true believer is going to give loyalty. You signed up. You're going to do it. You're going to pay whatever it is that you have to do. You do that because you see these little examples that Yeshua puts out before us. He says, this is what you have to do. And let me tell you, sometimes it's hard. But he says, we try to live for two masters at the same time. It puts a dark shadow over everything in our life. And that's what it does. It'll put a dark shadow in your life, and you don't want that at all. And this is the last. Yeshua tells us that either our eye is directed at heavenly things and therefore full of light, or it is directed at earthly things and therefore is full of darkness. That's where our eye's at. So how many of you see there's no in-between? And we can learn great lessons here. We could. You can use them at home. How many of you know it takes a man to be loyal to his family? We have a lot of men that's not loyal to their family. That's why we have foster families, foster kids, and they have kids, lots of kids are growing up without a father because he has no loyalty. He's not loyal to his family. And you know what it stems from? If you went back in his life, probably he had no loyalty. His dad run out on him and so forth. But at some point, somebody's got to break that. And we got to quit looking back and blaming what happened. We got to stand up and say, you know what? Jesus teaches us these lessons. They're all life lessons. He's teaching us for a reason. Be loyal. Well, I can tell you, if you're not loyal to God, chances are you're going to have loyalty problems with other things. Be loyal to him. Look what he's done for us. We've messed up big time in our life. But he forgave us. He forgave us. So what do? We forgive others. And when it comes time to being loyal and making sure we do the right thing, our treasure, my heart, you know where my heart's at? If he forgave me, you know where my heart's at? With the God that forgave me. When I messed up, that's where my heart's at because that's where my treasure is. Your heart's going to be where your treasure's at. And then thirdly, I'm going to make sure that I'm loyal. I'm going to be loyal because I signed up. If you signed up, be loyal to it. Do it to the best of your ability. Listen, if you're going to serve God, serve him with everything you got. Are you going to mess up? Probably so. We're all going to mess up. But we have somebody who stands for us, and he helps us. And so I hope that's helped you today. Today I hope it's challenged our life. We got so many things. After all these years, I think about this all the time. After all the years of serving God and preaching the gospel, I have so much things to work on. So many things. I'm challenged every day. Every time I read the Bible, I'm challenged. There's something I go, Lord, I can work on this. I could be better at this. This can help. We need this word to be spoken. We need it in our groups. We need it in our men's group, our ladies' groups. We need the word of God and challenge people, encourage each other. That these are the times we're living in. So listen, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Very important. Valuable to our life. Valuable that we do what God wants us to do. He gives these fundamental principles for us. And at the end of our lesson, make sure that your eye is single. You're not trying to be in two places. Your eye is single. I'm going to live for God. That's what I'm going to do. No matter what happens, I'm going to live for God. When you do that, your life will change. It'll change. It's daily. It's a daily thing that happens in your life, and you'll never be the same. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father. We're going to pray. We want you to, again, just remember this, how important this is, this time. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the time you've given us today. Thank you for your people that are here. Each person. God, we pray for those that weren't able to be here today. God, we pray their life will be strengthened. They'll be encouraged. God, they'll be touched in their bodies. If there's any sick, we thank you, Lord, that their bodies are being touched right now. We thank you for healing for them. We pray for encouragement for everyone, Lord, in our community, in our parish. We pray, Lord.